Researchers at Auckland University of Technology have been studying the impact of the extra, often uncompensated cultural work more than 50 Māori scientists have been doing to help their non-Māori colleagues navigate te ao Māori. The study authors say that the scientists who want to do this double shift of scientific and cultural work should be better compensated and enabled to do so. One of the researchers leading this study is Professor Jared Ha, a wellbeing expert from AUT Business School. Tēnā koe, Dr. Ha.
Kia ora.
Kia ora. Let's get to it. How did this research get underway?
So we had a large hui of Māori scientists in the National Science Challenges. So there's 11 National Science Challenges, and they're funded to about the tune of about $600 million over 10 years. So it's a serious investment in the future of New Zealand research across a wide range, from the Deep South. Innovation technology is the one I'm on, and there's, you know, aging well and all these kind of societal challenges. And this group of representatives, the Rauika Māngai, held a hui looking at bringing Māori together to talk about their experiences in the broad science system. And unfortunately, one of the key things that came out was around being burnt out and this kind of double cultural role. And I was there as a kind of academic researcher, and I thought, oh my gosh, I've got to tell this story. And myself and my colleague there, Willie John Martin, wrote this academic paper around these kind of challenges, really just to tell the story that when we look at the New Zealand tertiary sector and look at representation of Māori, one of those reasons for, you know, low retention rates, lower attraction rates, is possibly around the fact that Māori scientists feel they're just doing a lot of extra work and they just can't, you know, it's quite unsustainable.
Talk us through what the extra work involves and how it contributes to the burnout.
Yeah, so the interesting thing there, as you can imagine, so within the New Zealand science system, we have a system, and this is a positive, right? Vision Mātauranga, engaging with Māori communities, doing research, acknowledging Mātauranga Māori, all those things are wonderful aspects in our Aotearoa science system, and we, you know, totally love that. But who are we going to get to engage with you know, whānau, hapu, iwi, Māori stakeholders? Why? The Māori scientists in our universities, in our, you know, Crown Research Institutes. Those are the people who naturally want to engage. But the trouble is, you know, from a Māori perspective, those engagements around, you know, networking and whanaungatanga and take time. And this is what the research was telling us, you know. A lot of the scientists said, look, I can't show up for, if there's a two-day hui, I can't show up for the afternoon of the first day and that's it. Because culturally, you know, oh, who's this fella just coming along and then done his bit and left? So I have to go for the full 2 days, and maybe I stay the third day to help clean up because it's my local marae, and that's what auntie expects of me. But my employer is still saying to me, hey, where's the teaching? Where's the research? Where's the outputs? And so it's kind of the ability to be a good Māori academic is a challenge in the New Zealand system when you've got all these kind of pressures, and I would say unique to Māori scientists on them.
How do you handle it?
Actually, the other thing I should say on the unique to Māori scientists is I would suspect this would be very similar for Pacifica researchers, you know, who are engaging with Pacifica communities. How do I do it? Well, I mean, I'm interesting because I'm in a slightly different field. I'm in human resource management, so I'm in a business context. So I am engaging with stakeholders, including Māori, at that kind of business front side of things. So in some respects, that kind of works quite well in my regard, because everybody in business is typically very busy and wants things done quickly, but don't want to spend days and days sorting things out anyhow. So whereas other researchers are doing, you know, especially if you think of, you know, biology or chemistry, where you've got to spend lots of time in the lab. And so when I'm out, when those scientists are out engaging with the communities, to me, that's where the real strain goes on, because they just don't have the time to do their, you know, in some respects, the, you know, really important science work that they probably love, right? That's why I've done a PhD. I really love the topic and I love doing the science. And now I have to kind of put that on the back burner to engage with Māori communities, which is wonderful. But then my boss says, oh, you haven't published enough research. And it's because you've actually been doing all of this engagement activities, which is probably largely, it's probably not unpaid, because you are paid in your job, but, you know, that it's probably not really counted fully for. And I think that's really our big take home from our paper.
Is the experience that you have been studying of Māori scientists also found in the experience of other Māori in other fields?
Yeah, so we don't really know that, in all honesty, because this one's really the first of its kind in Aotearoa. But to me, it does resonate, because I do research around inclusion. And this would, I think there are parallels here for professional Māori. And you think of like the professional accounting firms that have Māori business units, for example. Now, those units are engaging with Māori stakeholders. And when they engage with, let's take, you know, if you're dealing with my tribe, Tainui and Hamilton there, you know, they may not appreciate you showing up for a one-hour meeting and then taking off again. They might expect you to spend more time getting to know the tribe before talking about the specific mahi that you want to talk about. And so those kind of aspects that we see in all parts of, you know, Aotearoa businesses who are trying to engage with stakeholders, I think, in a meaningful way, but they perhaps need to just kind of come back and say, well, what additional workload pressures does this bring to professional Māori? I think this is going to be more for professional workers, but, you know, even like government workers who are engaging in their government work and engaging with whanau hapu iwi, you know, needs to, this kind of time allocation needs to be considered, I think, a lot more in depth than it currently is.
So when we're thinking about considering time allocation and looking at all of the findings from your research so far, what do you see as a way of resolving the challenges?
Yeah, I think as like even in the whole science sector, as one part of it, you know, does need to have a new conversation about, you know, because we are talking about a sector, so Māori make up 16.5% of the population, but about 5% of academic population. So there's a big disconnect there. Part of our research findings, we had lots of Māori talking about either being burnt out or having colleagues who have burnt out and left the sector. And I think, you know, if you think of the whole cultural elements around whānau and hapu, and somebody says, hey, auntie, how's your career at the university? Oh, auntie's really burnt out, and I'm thinking I'm going to have to quit for my health. Oh, so that's not a profession for me then, is it? I don't want to become one of you, because, you know, it's not very, you know, it doesn't have that exemplar of being a desirable job if the kōrero around the experiences are I'm burning out and exhausted. I might love my science and I might love the engagement, but there's only so much we can do. And I think we need to have a new conversation about greater acknowledgement of those cultural engagement roles. And it's important to know that, you know, not all Māori will be want to do this, and not all Māori would want to do it all the time, but there'll be a majority of Māori and Pacifica, because I think I could bring them happily into this conversation, who will be experiencing these kind of workload issues and say, yes, I've got to put on multiple hats And it's not like you can say, well, it's okay, my work, you know, compensates me or makes allowances for those, for that extra work, because the additional part of our research showed that they don't do that. And I think it's just kind of trying to get the sector now to realise that they need to provide more opportunities for this kind of engagement on a workload model.
Especially, and I appreciate you mentioning Pasifika in this space as well, when there's so much focus on young people looking at STEM subjects, right? So heading into academia, obviously there needs to be attention made to the design of how workloads will actually be shaped into the future and how they'll be measured.
Yes, there's the, you know, Tara McAllister and colleagues, they did the, you know, why isn't my Professor Māori or Pasifika, you know, we could, at the end of that ... we could add, because they got burnt out and quit. And so I do think, you know, that's a real issue around retention, but it's also an issue around, you know, encouraging people into the sector. And of course, if all of my university lecturers aren't Māori or Pasifika, it's hard to say, how do I imagine myself in this space? Let's just say as a STEM person, I just want to do my bachelor's in that area of STEM, which is totally underrepresented. You know, we need more STEM people in total, and we sure would love more Māori and Pasifika in STEM as well. But if I can't see anybody like me who is telling me, you know, wow, this, you know, this geography aspect relates to, you know, tribal land or some, you know, some aspect there that resonates with Māori and Pasifika students, we're going to find that attraction just disappears. And, you know, and we as a society will be much poorer for it if we don't make an effort to kind of rectify these aspects. And I guess that's really our driver behind the paper. We, you know, we were in the hui, we saw and heard these things, and I was just flabbergasted as a kind of well-being in the HR side of things. And I was just like, man, this is an important story we've got to tell. And my colleague and I are really hoping we can help push this through the science sector to, you know, try to at least grow understanding and encourage some kind of change.
What happens next with your research, Jared?
Yeah, so I think our next bit is some presentations in Wellington, which is obviously a great place to be talking about this and trying to educate that whole science sector about the challenges facing Māori. You know, a lot of people say, "Oh my gosh, we just need to get more people into the sector," while I don't disagree with that, you know, this, it's clearly a complicated issue. You know, one of the things we could do is keep people who are in, you know, academics, keep them in there going forward, and then perhaps try to attract some of the ones who have burnt out and left and come back and say, hey, look, things have improved. You know, so then we start to kind of generate, you know, if we're 5% versus 16.5% of the population, you know, we're well and truly underrepresented there. And so to put that into context, so we talk about this in the paper, if you lined up 16 PhDs in New Zealand, one of them is Māori. That's it. So 16, while there's 16.5% of the population, it's 1 in 16 have a PhD. So because Māori are underrepresented in PhDs, and obviously on a per head of population basis, are far less than Pākehā, for example. So, you know, if you lined up 16, 15 are going to be Pākehā and one will be Māori. Now, and again, you know, we need a whole lot more people there before we get our first Pasifika person in there as well. So there's a lot of work to be done, and I think we're really positive about using our research to drive understanding and importantly policy change going forward.
Ngā mihi nui ki a koe, Jared. Really appreciate talking with you tonight.
Kia ora, thank you very much for your time.